Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the show, Reza Riffs. I'm Keith Reza, the host, with my sidekick, Alan Lee.
The one and only Alan Lee. Good evening.
Alan, I think since people are listening to it, they don't know what we look like, so I thought we'd describe ourselves. So you describe me, and then I'll describe you.
Okay, Keith has a, I don't want to say he looks like the kid from Two and a Half Men, but he looks like a little bit of an older version of that. But he looks a little bit like the kid from Two and a Half Men when his hair is...
So basically, I'm beautiful.
Yeah, he's blonde, he's beautiful, and that's as far as I go on that, as I am a heterosexual for the women out there. And I don't want any doubt to be put out.
All right. And then I want to describe you. You're a very beautiful blonde.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right on.
With big watermelons.
Ooh, man, and that's... I just tried to clear that up, but go ahead.
Yes. And you're a transvestite.
Oh, see, I knew right away that the blue material.
Blue material.
Right away.
But this show is interesting because I want to bring in people that I admire about comedy.
Thank you.
And stuff like that.
Thank you.
And it's going to be fun. We're going to talk. We're going to play games. And I think we have a very great guest.
I do indeed.
I mean, the first one, he's doing me a huge favor.
He's doing us a great favor.
And, you know, we should just bring him up, you know what I
mean? Do you think?
Yeah, because I want to talk to him. I don't really want to talk to you. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to talk to me. That's why we have the guest. But I don't want to wear the guest down.
No,
I might want to come back and, you know.
Well, this guest is a big guest. He was in the movie Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
White Castle, yes.
Cinderella Man.
Yes.
John Q.
Yes.
His latest movie, Fred and Vinny, which was written by Fred Stoller. You know Fred.
Yes, he plays Vinny.
He plays Vinny.
He plays Vinny.
Fred plays Fred.
That's you know, thanks for the memory jog.
But he's a great stand-up comedian, and I'd like to welcome. So please give it up for the one and the only Angelo Zagoskis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
Did
right.
Did I screw up his name?
Zaroukas.
He's going to kill me.
I got that right. I got it right.
Zaroukas. Hiya, guys. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Angelo.
I like the way you're describing each other. You know, the kid from Two and a Half Men and Rick Moranis here. I don't know
what the hell you're talking about. With watermelons.
With watermelons.
That's strange.
And a transvestite. That means you're an actor in West Hollywood.
He is. He is.
That's what you are.
I am, actually, but
good
not
to be here, guys. I'm happy to be. So I'm your first guest. I'm popping your cherry.
Man, you are bursting it.
Well, see, I've known Angelo for about 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
great,
you know, we're friends, but you know, we're not like best friends. When I told Alan Angelo was going to be on, he's like, "Oh, how do you know him?" I was like, "Well, I met you at the Fred and Vinny premiere.
Fred and Vinny premiere with Fred Stoller.
And I'm a huge Fred Stoller fan.
Fred's great. You know, you should get Fred on the show. He's a good guest.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you know, but the thing, Fred and Vinny was an interesting movie. It was directed by Steve Skrovan, and we shot it in L.A. 2009, 2010, when nothing was being done here.
Yeah.
And Fred is a iconic comic character
Star.
Actor. You've seen him on every sitcom.
I have indeed. I know who
and,
he is.
And I met Keith, and then he says, we're doing, and then we had these gigs at some sports pub.
At Centerfield.
At Huntington Beach.
You did I remember Centerfield.
Wait a minute. Was Angelo at the infamous Centerfields?
Did he
appear there? Well, thank you, sir. I'm sorry I missed that.
I remember.
Evening.
That was my second show.
Wow. I didn't realize
he
that.
He says,
Angelo.
What are you doing? I said, you know, I'm from Canada, so I've been living here for 8 years. So, you know, everybody's like, we're Huntington Beach. Yeah, it sounded like Burbank. And I'm driving and I'm thinking, where the hell am I going here?
San Diego.
But pretty
Tijuana.
Much close to Tijuana. Am I going down Ensenada?
I remember Angelo, though. He brought like 4 or 5 openers. And he's like, oh, and I worked so hard promoting it. And it turns out there was only like 4 people in the audience. And Angelo says, can I bring some openers? I was like, sure, because I want to make Angelo happy.
Sure.
So his openers go up and everyone's starting to leave. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Angelo. He's like, oh, no, it's my fault. I brought all the openers.
I brought all these guys. You know, there's always errant comedians. Like, I want to get – see, comedians need stage time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and look, since I've been in L.A., and I've always said this before, when you talk about comics coming to L.A., regardless of what your status is, wherever you're from, when you come to Los Angeles – you're playing laundromats, bookstores, center fields for the busboy and the chef.
Sure.
don't know if they spoke English, but they were there.
Some do.
You know,
not
and
a lot
it's,
of them.
And it's one of those things where you're – it's one of those things where as a comic, the only way you get better as a comic is if you get on stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. And know. See, that's one of the things I really like about you. I mean, because I fell in love with you that night because there was nobody there that night. There's like four or five people, and you still did 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm an egomaniac? No. I love the punishment? No, I just said, well, let's just do it. Let's just have fun.
Yeah.
No. And people did laugh.
Yeah, and it was, and that to me, you know, it was shocking because, like, I know headliners who won't do that for four people. They'll just say, not worth it. And the fact that you did it, like, really touched me because, I mean, I've been doing comedy for a while, but it was my first, you know, two shows running, producing, and I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And you did it, and...
Well, you said come out and do the show. You don't know what you're going to get. Like, I've done shows for 31,000 people. I've done shows for four.
Yeah.
And all the world's a stage, right? Shakespeare,
indeed.
And I don't know what the hell he was talking about. I think at the end of the day, if I can even get one joke out of that, Keith, from going to Huntington Beach, that's one joke I didn't have before.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote something because when you're sporadically playing for a small audience, you're going to take more chances.
Exactly.
It's like being in your kitchen at your house.
You put a little salt.
And you'll just start talking about things. It's not that you're not worried about the audience, but what you're really doing is saying, okay, we're here. You can bitch and complain about it, or we can have some fun.
Yeah.
And I always try to look at the brighter side of things and just let's have fun.
And then, you know, another story is I got offered a road gig, and they need a headliner because the headliner was sick. And I called you. You weren't available to do it, but you talked to me, and you gave me some names of some pretty good guys. And the fact is, like, when you have a celebrity's phone number, you don't want to, like, overcall them and stuff. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I feel like we're friends and stuff. And Alan's like, how often do you talk to him? I was like, occasional birthday text now and then.
Or on Facebook. That's what's good about Facebook. Yeah.
I love Facebook.
And you know, the thing, here's a unique relationship, Keith, you're going to find out about comedians, is that there's a lot of guys. I may see you three times in 1 week, and I may not see you for 3 years.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. I just did Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal, which is like the biggest comedy festival in the world. Yeah. And it's amazing. They were doing a podcast. And there was like Robert Kelly and Alonzo Bowden and Neil Brennan and Ange. And they were having this argument about something. And I just went by. I didn't know they were doing a podcast. It was at the Hyatt in Montreal. And I went by. Hey, there was an empty chair. Sit down. We have this issue. And then you got into it. And these are guys that I won't say they're friends in the comedy world. There's some guys that you're closer with.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like when you see each other, that's the nice thing about doing a festival.
It's like a brotherhood.
It's like a brotherhood for the most part. It depends where you're working. Like if I'm at the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store.
The Laugh Factory. I remember I auditioned for the Laugh Factory and I passed and I called you. Do you remember this?
Right, I remember this.
I called you and I was like, Jamie passed me.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. And then I never got the second date. And it's been like 3 years.
Three years later, it's like, buddy, you'll pass, but I don't know when you're coming back.
Exactly.
So,
very good impression. Very good impression.
Jamie, I love Jamie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think it's great. This is a great, I love this like, LA talk radio. Reza Bites, what's it called, you said?
Reza Riffs.
Yeah.
Sounds like a stripper or a porn star
He loves those images.
Reza Riffs.
He loves those images.
Reza Riffs and Dick Steele.
Yeah.
But, the thing is that you're, I think it's a tough game.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Comedy's a tough game. People always want advice. And the best advice I give people, from my experiences, just do it.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You know, you got to do it. And then, like I said, it's the Huntington Beaches. Yeah. It's sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example. We did, I was in New York, and I did this show. It was like the Hudson Theater. It's probably about 2,500 people. And it was on a Saturday night. And it was great. There's applause breaks. The audience is eating it up and loving it.
Sure.
That Saturday night, I'm speed up to Wednesday night. At San Manuel Casino at the Tuckett Room, where you're performing for basically Middle Earth. And they were booing me off the stage. They were going, nah, 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 you suck. I mean, wow. And I'm thinking, wait a second here. Saturday night, I was in this
big theater
in New York, and there was applause breaks, and they were listening. They're taxpaying people. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you're in Highland, California on a Wednesday night where they've just blown their load on the casino.
Sure. Not happy.
And now you're getting booed off the stage. And I sat there and I laughed.
That's great.
The other comics asked me, they go, why'd you laugh? I go, how can you not laugh?
Yeah.
Because, and it's like, that's where part of your self-esteem and your confidence has to come into play. Because you can't sit there saying, well, I'm thinking, what Saturday night I did this.
Oh, I like this. I like this. Very good.
And then Wednesday night, you're getting booed.
Yeah. Ouch. That happens to me a lot because most of my shows, because I don't have any, you know, TV credit to get headlining spots. So most of my shows are like, you know, bars and stuff. And like, I'll give you an example. Last night I was at the Boiler Room, and which is in Garden Grove.
Right.
And the owner, and I was the host. It's a show that I host and stuff.
Right.
So I have to get people's attention, and I'm bombing. And the owner, he's like, you know, you bring really funny comedians, but you just suck.
He actually said that? Oh, my.
You bring funny comedians, but you know what, Keith? You suck.
It was like, well, see, my style is very Stephen Wright. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's very hard because I can't yell at people to shut up. Like, that's not in me.
Right.
And another question that I had is, you're Greek, and I know a lot of your stand-up goes, you know.
Talks about my heritage. Yeah.
And see, as you know, I have autism. I have Asperger's.
Right.
And 80% of my stand-up
is... That sounds Greek, by the way, Asperger's.
But 80% of my stand-up is talking about, you know, having a social disorder.
Right.
And I sent my DVD that I filmed to a management, and they watched it, and they said, you know, I can't represent you because no one wants to hear about autism for 45 minutes. Now, I just wanted to know your opinion about... No. What about Greek? Like, do you ever get that?
Well, first of all, look... I think for them to say nobody wants to hear, who are these people to say what we're supposed to talk about?
Exactly.
Have you heard of what comedians talk about?
Oh, my.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's the last bastion of true speech.
Thank you.
And I think for them to see, they're projecting at this point. They're saying, well, you got Asperger's, you got autism. It's very relevant in today's society. I champion you because you've got enough guts to do it.
Yeah.
And instead of encouraging and saying, look, there's a lot of people that, if you lead the way, will come out. I'm Greek. I didn't change my name. It's Tsaroukas. Nobody can
Tsaroukas. We can.
So you guys can.
I feel bad because, like, I always say it right, but then when it's on a live show,
But you see, what I did, rather than get upset about it, I made a joke about it.
Yeah.
And that's what comedians do. And the same thing, you're saying, look, I was born this way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can't talk about it.
That's true.
I've worked with comedians with cerebral palsy. I've worked with comedians with MS. People who did a show in Canada we did. It was for people on meds, which is pretty much the whole
I thought you said people,
comedy community.
I thought you said people on meth.
Meds.
Meds. So
or meth. we could probably do two shows on each one.
Yeah.
And I think that... Especially, that's what you need to talk about. Mm-hmm. People need to know. Because then what are you going to talk about?
Right? Thank you.
Exactly.
I talk about my heritage. I'm Cuban and Chinese. And I say, that makes me Cubanese, but I'm not a communist.
See, he's a Cubanese. It's funny. You've got two countries, the two most communist countries and the two most capitalistic people you've ever... I've been to both countries.
Thank you.
Havana.
I haven't.
I've been to Havana and I've been to Shanghai. I did actually shows there. It's weird.
That's some stories
but
there.
It's two of my favorite foods.
Oh,
right?
Thank you. I grew up with good food.
So, you know,
great
Alan,
food.
When you're talking about being Cuban, and I'll tell you, the chicks are smoking hot in Cuba.
Oh,
it's smoking hot.
I want to go.
You have to go.
You're from Cuba and you've never been to Cuba?
No. I was born actually in New York City. I've told you, and I grew up in Texas with the horses.
Wow. So you're Cuban. And the cowboys. Born in New York, grown up in Texas.
Yeah.
Well, there's your comedy.
That's what I'm saying. There's your comedy.
It's like people can't figure out what's going on, and that's what I'm saying. When you talk about something like that, I think what happens is what they're saying to you, Keith, is that they're uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
But the audience is, I mean, look, listen to Jim Jeffries and listen to a lot of, Man, they're talking about Oscar Pistorius. Listen to Russell Peters.
Thank you.
He breaks all the barriers. Now, all the barriers. Listen to Louis C.K. My kids are assholes.
C.K.
I mean, those are the comedians, Nick DiPaolo and Jim Norton and Bill Burr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. He's not politically correct. But if you tell a comedian don't talk about something, guess what happens?
We talk about it.
I think they shut them down because, like, especially with Asperger's, you don't see social cues. So when they say I can't do it, it makes me question whether I'm funny or not. But then I think, you know what? My comedy hero is Norm MacDonald. He lets me open for him every now and then. He thinks I'm funny.
Yeah, Norm's got something. Yeah. We don't know what it is. Well,
yeah.
No, yeah. Norm's brilliant.
He's a genius, but we don't know how to define. We can't even define each other.
Yeah, Norm, look, I started off in Canada with Norm MacDonald on amateur night in Yuck Yucks in Ottawa.
Oh, Yuck Yucks?
And that's where we started.
Yuck
and Jeremy Hotz. You know what amateur night was?
Yeah.
In Canada, amateur night was Norm MacDonald, Jeremy Hotz, myself, and Tom Green.
Wow. Tom Green.
We're on the same shows. Tom came a bit later, but was doing some of them. Norm's brilliant. Jeremy's brilliant. You know, we have the Ottawa connection. That's where we grew up.
Cool.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, that's the whole thing about comedy. See, I made a joke about Norm. He's on something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. That's not the point. The point is we were talking about people with disorders.
Yeah.
And when you really look at everybody, we've all got something.
Thank you.
Well, we've all got something.
Definitely.
Man. We all got something. I don't care what it is. First of all, comedians have addictive personalities.
Oh, my God. True.
We're very addictive people. It's drugs, sex, food.
You know who I think
I'm glad he said that right here.
You know who I think has Asperger's is Fred. Because Fred's very quiet.
Fred's quiet and introverted.
Yeah.
He is.
Fred Stoller is. I think Freddie is. Sweetest guy you've ever
very
met.
Friendly.
And one of the funniest guys I've ever met.
He's an excellent stand-up.
But, you know, he's not comfortable sometimes in social settings.
Yeah.
And he's my friend. But you see, he takes that awkwardness and makes it funny.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, and that's what Fred does so well. And he's, you know, he's just so, you know, and he's very, very brilliant-minded. But I think the problem is we're in a world where people want you to articulate and look a certain way.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's going to sell. How many times have you seen somebody who's really attractive, and they're doing stand up, and it's shit? Can we say shit?
Yeah.
Yo, this is a completely shit.
And they're shit.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're thinking, well, you look good.
Yeah.
And you got the charisma, whatever it is.
Yeah, but I don't understand your humor.
Well, they're not funny.
They're not funny. Well, that's probably
they're
a big problem
funny,
right
so
there.
The guy's up there sucking it for 25 minutes, and they're such narcissists. No. Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Thank you. That's a great insight.
No, do you know Brian Scalaro?
Yeah, sure I know Brian Scalaro, sure.
He told me that, you know, because I've seen Brian bomb several times. But I've seen him kill.
Yeah,
he tells me after his shows when he bombs, he's like, you know what? I believe in myself and I believe in my jokes. I know I'm funny. This audience isn't.
Yeah, he's right.
So, you know, I think comedy, there's no rule on how to be funny or not funny.
You read Seinfeld's book. He says he takes a couple hours a day. He's disciplined. And he's the kind of guy that can sit down and write jokes.
Yeah.
I work with Russell Peters all around the world. Russell doesn't sit down and write jokes. Russell gets on the stage and writes them in the stage, keeps them in his head.
Mm-hmm. There's a question I had about Russell Peters because I know this because we're friends, but I also know because of Google that, you know, I've known you done shows with Russell, but I also know that you got accepted the last Comic Standing.
Right.
And you didn't do it.
Yeah, that was... Here's what happened, ironically.
Yeah.
I was... my manager said that we got an audition for you to go to John Lovett's club for Last Comic. I'm better known in the world. In America, I had a Showtime special and I got some good, but still not household.
Yeah.
You know? And what happened was I auditioned for them and they liked me. And Wanda Sykes said, we want to do this thing for you. And I said, sure. I was working with Russell. Russell's been my best friend forever. And I was working with Russell in Florida. And I told Russell, hey, look what happened. I got on Last Comic Standing. He goes, that's cool. By the end of the week, Russell gets a call from NBC. They wanted him to be a judge.
Yeah.
So I got it before him. And then Russell says, but he wasn't sure if he was going to do it or not at that point. This was like in January. What happened was They came and filmed my family. I was ready to go on it. And, I thought, this is great. You know, I get the exposure. I toured with Vince Vaughn's Wild West comedy show. I'm in a full development deal with Vince Vaughn's company for a sitcom show with the network. Now, the thing is, this is where the business part of it comes in. What happened was is that if you do a show like Last Comic Standing, you're signing an 18-month exclusivity clause. Which means whatever you're doing, and NBC and the network has first choice over your what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I couldn't sign that. And I called Steve Byrne and Bill Burr, who are friends, and I asked for advice. I talked to them. I wanted to do the show because I knew being on television in America is always a good thing, prime time. And what happened, Bill Burr said a good thing to me, and so did Steve. He goes, look, you go on a show. Last Comic Standing to get a development deal because you have one.
Yeah.
So I said to them on the Friday, look, I can't do it. And, you know, when you say no in L.A., it's a powerful thing. What do you mean you can't do it?
Yeah.
That's right.
I said,
right.
I can't do it because we're in full development with Vince Vaughn. I mean, he's one of the biggest stars in the world, and I tour with him. With Bill Burr and Steve Byrne, and we do shows with Vince.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a privilege for me to work with guys like that. So I said, look, I respectfully say no. And they thought, what? Every comic would give their left nut to be on the show, and you're saying no to us.
Yeah.
And what happened was on Monday, I had to go do a cruise gig.
Yeah, yeah.
I left. I was having problems with my phone. NBC changed their mind about the exclusivity. They said, we'll take it out.
Oh, what? Wow.
So I did the show. I was already gone, and they called my wife.
So,
and I got to Bahamas. My phone's not working.
Oh, no.
I don't know what it was. There was something wrong with this stupid Nexus 5 Google piece of shit phone. Oh. I'll say it right now.
Goodbye, Nexus.
And then I managed to get a text out to my wife to tell her
I'm okay
at the ship, and I'll call you when I get a chance.
Sure.
As we're leaving the port from Bahamas, Keith, my phone starts bing, 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 bing. It caught a signal. And I could see all the messages. Give us a call. They changed their mind. All these things.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I couldn't get off the ship. And, you know, my manager's like, tell me you're sick.
Oh, wow.
Tell me you got something, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a gig.
Sure.
But what happened was I was prepared to do it. And I would have loved to have done it.
I think you could have. Honestly, I tweeted the show. You know, and I pissed
off.
They
had me on the list. Still.
Yeah.
I was still on the list.
And
as
you
the comedians.
Saw this as the cruise ship is pulling away.
My phone starts catching signal. It's like written in a movie, Alan.
That's what I'm about to
say.
It's
like those movies.
I said, that's a scene.
Oh, there's a lottery numbers. I threw the ticket away.
That's a scene.
But see, when I found out you didn't do it, because I found out because I was tweeting the live
show. We didn't
know
the story.
And I pissed a lot of comics off because I was just making, you know, jokes, tweets and stuff. And I thought from the very beginning, I actually called the top four. I thought Rocky Laborde was going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, Rocky's great.
Yeah.
You know?
But I really think if you were in it, you could have easily been top five, if not take the whole thing.
Well, that would have been nice.
Yeah.
I think I really had a good opportunity with it. And it's not that I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But you see,
it's just.
You know, I've been in LA for 8 years, right?
Yeah.
The two things, I set a goal for myself. I wanted to do three things when I moved to Los Angeles. I wanted to do a 1-hour comedy special.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to do a movie. And I wanted to be in a sitcom.
Nice.
I got the 1-hour comedy special in Showtime. I made Fred and Vinny, which I got to play Vinny, the lead role in a Hollywood film.
Number two.
And the third thing was a sitcom.
Bingo.
And then here I am set up for it. But
you
can't let, you know, when you're in a situation where you've been working on it for 2 years, you have to weigh your options out.
Yeah.
You hedge your bets. I mean,
you
realize that. As a stand-up, it's a good move to do Last Comic. You could get voted off the first episode.
Yeah, and you could still get millions of fans.
You still get a lot of people who watch and say, I like this guy.
Sure.
But on the other hand, I've got this whole deal.
With Vince.
With Vince. Bill. Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Bingo. Like, the comics are looking at me going, man, you've got this deal with Vince Vaughn.
Nice. Yeah.
I got a Vince Vaughn story for you. Because he was hanging out with Steve Steve Byrne.
Vince's executive producer of Sullivan and Son.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Peter Billingsley, right. And that's a great show. I was on that show.
Yeah, I know.
I guest starred on that show, too, with Ahmed Ahmed and Roy Wood Jr. and Owen Benjamin.
Wow.
All great comedians. It's a great show.
Brian was on it for a while as well.
Brian Scalera was on it. It's on TBS for people listening. And it's a really funny show. I got to do their pilot.
Yeah.
I did two episodes with those guys.
But my uncle, he's not my blood-related uncle, but he's like my adopted uncle, is Patrick Warburton.
Oh, okay. I know that name.
Yeah, he's Family Guy, Rules of Engagement.
Right, of course.
So every year he does a golf tournament, you know. And I remember I was at the Hollywood Improv, and this was two nights before the roast of the Charlie Sheen. So all the roasters were coming in practicing sets, and I had to go after Amy Schumer and, you know, all these guys. Vince Vaughn's in the bar, right? And I have Asperger's, and I'm so awkward, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, you know what? Vince Vaughn would be a pretty cool name to play golf at this tournament, you know? So I go up to him, and I was like, do you play golf? And he just looks at me, and he's like, no.
That's funny. Hey, you play golf? He's like, what? That's funny.
Yeah. So
like
but the way he did it, it was like he was like, why is he asking me?
About it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I didn't get a chance to tell him. You know, he just walked off with Steve. I was like,
that must have been a little strange.
Yeah, it was
funny.
No, they're great guys, but they're big hockey fans. We have a lot in common, and you know, the story's funny. And then, but the thing is, Keith, is that 8 years in L.A. and in 1 week, the two things I wanted to do the most came down to a decision.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
So it's
amazing.
It's good, Alan, but you, as a comic, you wanted to one thing to happen 2 years earlier and one thing to happen 2 years later. Yeah. But, you know, ask any actor in L.A., you want to book a gig, book a trip. Every time you book a trip.
Something happens.
I'll give another
wow,
story since we're talking
funny.
About this. I'm leaving to do shows 2 weeks ago. I'm leaving to do shows in Canada. We did shows a comic named Frank Spadone. We do these shows, Italian-Greek shows called Una Fazza, Una Razza, One Face, One Race. And we're doing Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal. They're sold out in Canada. Sold out shows.
Yeah,
I've been in L.A., Keith, for 7 weeks, and no calls from my theatrical agent, no calls from nobody.
Nada.
Hanging out with my family. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, you have a daughter now.
I have a daughter. My daughter, Olivia, and my wife. 2 days before I'm going to leave, I get a call from my agent. 2 days. He goes, he goes, I saw you booked out for next week, for this next week.
I go,
I go, what? He goes, well, I got a call from these producers of this new show.
Yes.
And they liked your comedy. They want you to come on and audition for them. But he goes, we didn't submit you. They called for you. And I'm like, because I don't think I should tell you who they are. And I'm like, okay, now I'm like, okay, you gotta fucking tell me who is it? And he goes, look, it was Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan. They have a new show called Better Call Saul. It's the guys from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it was a recurring role.
Cool.
And you want to bang your head through the wall because it's like, this is a game changer. You know, a lot of big comics like Lavelle Crawford and Mike Mattia has been on it. Bill Burr, they love comics on that show.
Sure.
But for me, it was like, what a great opportunity. But I've been waiting for 2 months. I've had no gigs. I got these shows that we're doing now in Canada sold out.
Bingo,
only
they're
3 days.
Done.
I said, can we do it right after? I'll leave Toronto and I'll come. No, they want you in New Mexico. So that's what happens. So every performer, anybody in the industry will have a fish that got away story. I've had like
a lot of
catch,
fish that have
gone away this year. It's been that kind of a year. But usually you're always hoping, Alan,
that
for
you
a better thing.
Catch that one, cast that out
well,
there.
See, and, the thing with me
that's
is
a great
like,
story.
The thing like with that. Me is like I want to do sitcoms and movies and stuff, but the thing is I hate auditions because a lot of people make me nervous. And when you do the cattle calls and stuff, you're surrounded, you know, and you're like, can I just get a private? Same with when I auditioned for America's Got Talent, you know, if you do it in front of a room, you get people to laugh. But if you do it one-on-one, then the producer will say, okay, I know, I have an idea of who you are.
Right. Well, Angela has all this experience on both sides of the line there.
That's why he was on Mad Men.
But it fuses on. Yeah, Mad Men was great. I remember getting on Mad Men. I remember Matt Wiener being in the room, and it was, like, so funny. And I saw actors down at Central Studios in L.A., and guys you've seen on TV all the time, guys in action films.
Sure.
And there's got to be about 70 or 80 guys going for this role.
Sure.
And then I go in, and they go, I walk in the room, and the guy looks at me and goes, you're the guy. You're the guy. Do me a favor. Do the lines. I'll give you this part.
That's
and I've never heard that at a casting. And that's I went inside, and I did this thing, because it was 1960s New York.
Yeah.
I'm a white bouncer, kind of Italian-looking. I realized that's the year they got nominated for the Golden Globes, and they used our scene as the one on MSNBC where they were showing it on. And I went in, and I did it, and the guy goes, excellent. Now, they don't give it to the spot. By the time I could get to my car in the parking lot, my agent called and said, you're booked.
Oh, man.
And that was
sweet.
And that's what I'm saying. And to this day, I still got people who will say, hey, man, I saw you, because you know, they watch the box sets or DVR. I saw you on Mad Men.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
You know, it gives you a bit of a cache. I did Blue Mountain State, which I still haven't seen it. Yeah. I did after the Just for Laughs Festival. I auditioned for this. Once again, it's a role, a quirky role about a guy in a bar. And I've had all my friends, you know, it's a younger demographic that watches Blue Mountain State.
Yeah.
And people go, hey, man, I saw you on BMS. And I'm like, what's BMS?
Did he have
You know, I'm thinking, I'm fat. It sounded like BMS. I would think it's like a sub at Subway or something.
That's a reality
show. Yeah, BMS. I thought it was BMS. Is that a network? No, man, Blue Mountain State. And I forgot about it. I said, yeah, that's great. Wow. He goes, have you seen the show? I said, honestly, I haven't seen it.
That's cool. You just haven't caught up?
Yeah, I mean, you just do it. I mean,
how cool is that?
It's nice. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm not concerned about it. It just kind of like happens. But that's what happens. You got to take the good with the bad. And you get opportunities and you want to be able to capitalize on it.
But then they get trumped.
The thing that I love about you is you're always, whether it's, you know, movies or sitcoms or whatever, you're always busy. And, you know, that's
the secret. You try to keep busy.
Yeah, but you know, whenever I'm at the improv or I'm at a comedy club and I have a spot to do a guest set, you know, I'll call you and you'll be like, I'm out of town.
I'm out of town, yeah. I'm usually working on something. Well, right now, we just completed for the first time. I did a one-hour-plus comedy special in Athens, Greece.
Nice.
Never been done before. Sweet. And what we did, it's part of a documentary. The documentary is called Back to Sparta, which it's on YouTube now. And it's about basically my father died of Alzheimer's. Oh. And before my father died, he said to me when he was still able to communicate, you know, why don't you ever go to Greece and do a show? You've worked all around the world. You've never gone to Greece. And that kind of my father died in 1998. And it kind of stayed with you. You know, when something stays with you, it
lingers and it's in you.
And then a great filmmaker in Toronto, George Tsoutsalas, was like, you know, he was chronicling my life. You know, my life changed at 35. I got divorced. I ended up in jail from a bad marriage. I was broke. I went to Toronto. I started my life over again. It's about starting over again. And then we got the idea. And I said to George, wouldn't it be nice if we went to Greece to do a show to see if we could do it?
Sure.
And at the same time, during the worst austerity and it's the worst economic crisis Greece has ever had in their history. I speak fluent Greek.
Yeah.
So we went there. We did this show. We set it up. We didn't know if this was going to work because I'm not from there. So through social media and balls, we went in and said we started doing it. Then the newspapers picked up the articles. We ended up selling about 700 tickets, sold out. We donated all the money to local charities in Athens.
Wow.
And we shot the special, which looks phenomenal. And now they're editing. So it's a two-part thing. It's a one-hour comedy special.
And then
it's the documentary.
Wow.
Of how I got there and how my father,
that's
like
cool.
You said, you're Cubanese. You're Cuban-Chinese. I'm Greek. Keith is something. I don't know what he is. He's American.
Nice white guy.
But the thing is that it's like, poor Keith is like, he's something. I don't know what he is. He's from a planet. No, but you know what's funny?
Planet Asperger.
But you know what's funny? What's funny about that is that I took a chance. I've had a lot of comedians call me going, look, I saw the trailer. The trailer's great. And it's the other side of the mountain for comics because I'm tracing my family's roots. And the origin of the documentary is you don't know who you are until you know where you're from.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love that.
You know, and that's what, so it's being made right now. So there's all kinds of stuff. There is a lot of. I'm impatient. I'm a. You know me, Keith. I'm the kind of guy who likes to work and do things. And I think as a anybody, if you have a vested interest in your career, you need to work at it. And I do it every day. I'm whether it's writing jokes or being part of doing shows or trying to get the sitcom off the ground, which I got my fingers crossed they're going to accept it. Or doing a movie, or
it
doing,
will, dude.
And I got another Christmas movie.
Yeah, coming out. You finished that? I thought
yeah,
I read that,
that
you just
finished
that. And
they're ready to go Christmas with the Caruso
sets.
And it's another thing. So there's all these little things going on. I have this other pilot thing we're working on in Canada. So
you've
it takes a
cooking.
Lot of work. I have a family, so I want to play with my daughter and
that's great.
Hang out with
family
my wife
on top
too.
Of that, man. I mean, a lot of comics are out there just like me, single and. Alone.
Right. Single and alone. And, yeah, and all that. Well, it's so fun. You know, when you're out, you try to get in. And when you're in, you try to get out.
Well, see, Angelo, the thing is I'm very about if people are always a good person or not. And I've always thought, and I still do with all my heart, I know you're a good person. So I know.
Are you sure about
are
that?
Are you sure about that?
I think it is.
So
like,
I know
when he called
everything's
me up,
coming down.
Well, I'll say this about you. Is it you have tenacity, and you called me up. You said, I'm going to do this thing. How would you feel about it? And I there's just something about the way you asked me. And I said, sure.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't say I say yes to everybody. I don't.
We are aware of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. But
so
Keith
glad
says,
to
I'm
have you.
Do this thing.
Yeah.
No, it's my pleasure. And I'm honored that you guys thought of me first to be the guinea pig for your experiment. No, but this is great. This is a great setup. This is a good show.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is that, you know, I look at world politics. I respect family. I respect religion. I respect people's opinions.
Thank you.
And the thing is that a lot of people say, what's your opinion on this? Well, here's my theory on that. If you want my opinion, you have to accept it.
Yeah.
The same way I got to accept yours.
Thank
There's
you.
Too many people that say, oh, I don't agree with that. Well, why did you ask me?
Exactly, yeah.
And that's where you get stand-up comedy. People will say, I loved your stuff. People say, I think you went over the line. Some people say, I wouldn't have done that. Well, that's you.
Thank you.
I don't think
that's
in comedy
a great
there's
thing
anything
to
called
say.
Over the line.
No.
Well, though, but sometimes,
like,
you know, people
The question
will...
I wanted to ask you is, do you think comedy is subjective?
Well,
that's...
That's
a hard one.
That's a hard one. I mean, it depends on the point of view.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, it's subjective to the point of, how do I explain that? That's a very good question.
If can I,
Angelo sees something funny, then how does that work?
Can I explain my thoughts on
sure,
it?
Tell me. Sure, tell me.
Okay, I don't believe comedy is subjective. I think what's funny is everyone, like, for example, if three dogs are playing poker, the audience thinks it's funny because dogs are playing poker. But if a dog actually plays poker, the dog doesn't think it's funny.
Funny. Right.
So the dog will think it's funny as one of the dogs, you know, says meow.
Right.
Then the dog would just burst out laughing.
Yeah, I see where you're going. And how do they hold the cards with their paws?
Exactly.
What I want to know.
Exactly.
They insert them in their little paws and they get cut their hands.
So I don't think comedy is subjective. I think, however, humor is subjective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think
that's a good way to divide it. I like that.
That's a really
so because I think everyone has different types of humor.
Yeah.
But I think comedy overall, what's funny is it's going to be funny to everybody, but in a different light.
Thank you.
Well, I agree. And that's how many times have you seen somebody? I know I've been at shows where I'm laughing and nobody else is laughing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I didn't get it. You know, I thought the guy was hilarious.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's like, and the other problem too now with technology is that people just don't listen. That's a big problem, I think, now for comedy. How many people sit in the audience and they're messaging or Facebooking or Twittering or wherever the hell they're doing. I'm like, why were you doing this at a live comedy show?
Yeah.
Eddie Pepitone started screaming. You know Eddie Pepitone?
Yeah, yeah.
He started screaming. You could see it at someone who had pulled out their texting, you know?
Right, at the show.
It was hilarious because he said, I'm trying to tell you something.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, I'm trying to verbally live.
Yeah.
I'm on DVR'd. I'm not on TV. Yeah. I'm here. And you're texting, but that's... People have this addiction. See, there's a good addiction, and a lot of comedians talk about this. And that's subjective in a sense where how does it affect your life?
Okay.
So, you know, some people, to me, it's like, look, I you ever notice people at a Starbucks or anywhere, they're just looking at their phone the whole time.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you that important? For me, it's, are you that important?
Yeah. It's like, you're not.
That many people are calling you?
Yeah.
What are you, 14?
Exactly.
What the hell? I mean, I don't even, it's I hate the phone.
You're not
besides
Brad
my
Pitt.
Agent who never calls or manager who never calls.
Yeah.
And my wife who always calls. I mean, I always love when these people are like sitting around and look at this new app. Like, shove the app up your ass. I don't care. I'm right here. I'm talking to you live.
That's very funny.
You know, and it's so funny because I think it's one of those things that, but like you said, that's what gives us our fodder, our material.
Our material. Yeah. It's all the craziness and the kooky all behavior that
right.
we see.
Because listen, if you point that out to people, they maybe don't want to laugh at it, but they have to.
They have to.
Because you're calling them
you're
on
calling
it.
You're calling them on it. Thank you.
Like, wait, you know, what's with it? Like, I do this one joke, which it's so funny. It wrote itself. My friend sent me a text that said, call me. And I text them back, okay. Like, what's wrong with this? Why are you texting me to call you? Yeah. Why am I texting you to
like
to confirm?
That's good. See, that's a great
joke. It's so simple.
That's
but it's
good.
So when I do that joke, people laugh. They go, "It's true.
Sure.
I've done that."
Sure.
Speaking, hey Keith, call me. Okay, when's a good time?
I did.
Why don't you just?
I've done.
Call
I just
me?
Realized I did that.
Speaking of jokes, we're running out of time, and I want to
okay.
I want to
oh,
play
God,
this.
This is
yeah, it's going by fast. This I want to
is...
play this thing called Who Wrote Jokes.
Oh boy.
And I want to test your joke knowledge. I
well,
mean,
whatever. All the answers are Carlos Mencia.
Mencia.
Whatever you ask me,
oh
I mean,
my
Carlos Mencia's
done that's
it.
Good. That's good. That's good.
but no, we Alan and I made bets in the car on how many you would get right. There's 25. I said you'll
25.
Get. I said you'll get 15.
All right. Let's see.
I
let's
said,
see if I'm that good.
I gave him a very high
okay.
score.
So first
I don't know
one.
If I know them. Okay.
How many actors does it take to change a light bulb? 100. One to change the bulb and 99 to say, I could have done that.
Okay.
Mitch Hedberg, David Letterman, Norm Crosby, Emo Phillips.
Oh, I mean, I've heard that joke.
Yeah.
On that one, I have to say, it kind of sounds like a Mitch Hedberg joke, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna go on a limb and say it's Norm Crosby.
He got it right.
Oh,
oh my
wait
God!
Norm Crosby.
Oh,
yeah,
Angelo,
Crosby.
I went with Hedberg.
Whenever he gets it right, I'm taking it off the next guest can't get it.
Norm Crosby.
Very good.
Second joke. My uncle was thrown out of a mime show for having a seizure. They thought he was heckling. A. Vince Champ. B. Fred Stoller. C. Jeff Shaw. D. Eddie Murphy.
That's a Fred Stoller joke.
You are wrong.
Oh,
wrong.
Jeff Shaw.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It sounded like a Fred
it
Stoller
certainly
joke.
Did.
Yeah.
It certainly did. That's a close one.
Shakespeare said, kill all the lawyers. That's before they were agents. Was it A. Robin Williams, B. Billy Crystal, C. Whoopi Goldberg, or D. Jason Alexander?
Oh, wow. Whoopi... Billy Crystal, Robin Williams. Billy Crystal.
Wrong. It was
Robin
Williams.
I was going to say Robin Williams.
I said Billy Crystal.
I was going to say Rob. I said Robin Williams. It sounds like a Billy Crystal.
It doesn't it, though?
For one for five now? Let's go.
No, one from three. But I still said you'll get 15.
Okay. So. Big expectations.
Okay. Naps are wonderful, aren't they? Sometimes I have to take a nap just to get ready for bed. A. Roseanne, B. Joan Rivers, C. Marsha Walford, or D. Jan Hooks.
Oh wow, you're making it tough. I'm gonna say Roseanne Barr.
It was Marsha
Warfield.
Yeah,
yeah. I got to go to the second
really
one.
Really hard.
I thought Marsha Warfield. I said no. It's got to be her or Roseanne. So
yeah.
I went with Joan Rivers.
Okay, you'll get this one, Angela.
Let's see.
All right, I was born in 1962. True. The room next to me was 1963. A. Steve Martin. B. Betty White. C. Joan Rivers. Or D. Sarah Silverman.
Oh, I know this joke, man. Who that? Martin.
No.
No. I mean, no. I'm just thinking Martin Silverman. It's Joan Rivers, and who's the other one? It's Joan Rivers.
Bingo.
Joan Rivers. I was going to say, I'll give you a hint. They're dead.
No, that's Joan Rivers.
All right. You'll get this one, too. How many of these dead animals you see on the highway are considered suicides? A, Drake Sather. B, Fred Stoller. C, David Spade. Or D, Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah.
Bingo.
It's Dennis Miller.
He's two from two.
That's good, yeah. Dennis Miller.
Oh, I miss him, man.
He's funny, man. He's a Republican now.
Yeah, big Republican.
Okay. I gave my cat a bath the other day. He sat there. He enjoyed it. It was fun for me. The fur would stick in my tongue, but other than that, it was fun. A, Tommy Chong. B, Norm MacDonald. C, Steve Martin. Or D, Billy Crystal.
I got to say Tommy Chong on this one. Is that Norm?
No.
Really?
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
That sounds like a Tommy Chong.
Doesn't it? Stoner joke.
Doesn't it though? I could.
Yeah.
You know what we should do is what joke belongs to who is what
we should do. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Okay. I bought an ant farm. I don't know where I'm going to find a tractor that small. A, Emo Phillips. B, Warren Thomas. C, Chris Rock. Or D, Stephen Wright.
Wow. Okay. I got it down. I'll tell you what. I got it down to Emo or Steve.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say Steve Wright.
Bingo.
You got it.
Yeah, that's Steve Wright.
Yes. Very good.
All right. Looking at their new baby, the mother said, "These are tiny arms. He'll never be a boxer. These are tiny legs. He'll never be a runner." The father looked at the baby and said, "He'll never be a porn star either." A, Leno. B, Letterman. C, Jack Carter. Or D, Bob Hope.
Leno.
Wrong. It was Bob Hope.
Bob Hope said that?
Yeah. Bob Hope said that?
This one.
He's been dead for 50 years or something. Right. But Bob Hope said that?
But he's one of the greatest.
He is. I love Bob Hope.
Wasn't he?
Here's another one. This one's easy, I think. My hair is my own. I paid for it. I own it. A, Jack Carter. B, Freddie Prinze. C, Carl Reiner. Or D, Fred Allen.
My hair is my own. I paid for it. I have to say Carl Reiner.
You got it.
You got it. Bam.
For a bald guy, for sure.
They're throwing Jack Carter in. That's tough.
Jack Carter. What the hell? What is this? Was it Gracie Allen, George Burns? Wait. Comedy trivia from 100 years ago, Keith? What the hell, man?
He's not kidding. You're
wrong. Was it George Washington?
Washington.
Jefferson, Washington. Who said this?
Well, we only got 5 minutes. I want you to get 15.
Okay, it's cool.
So Alan could buy us a dinner.
Okay.
I said if he gets 15, Alan's buying dinner. Okay. I was born by C-section. This was the last time I had my mom's complete attention. A, Richard Jenny. B, Robin Williams. C, Rodney Dangerfield. Or D, Dennis Miller.
Richard Jenny.
All right. Oh,
bam.
Boom.
Richard Jenny.
Very good.
Funny guy, man. Yeah. R.I.P. Richard.
He was great. Yeah. R.I.P.
What did Norm say? I like to call him the biggest hack in the world.
Oh, no.
I just got out of the hospital. I was in a speed reading contest. I hit a bookmark. A, Stephen Wright. B, Fred Stoller. C, Lisa Lepinelli, or D, Richard Jenny.
That's got Stephen Wright written all over it.
Yeah.
Stephen Wright.
See, I got that one, too.
Yeah. All right, this one you have to get, Angelo.
Okay.
Why pay a dollar for a bookmark? Why not just use the dollar as a bookmark? A, Dennis Miller. B, Fred Stoller. D, David Spade. Or C, Drake Sather.
That's Fred Stoller.
Yeah.
That's Freddie Stoller.
Nice. Fred.
Nice.
It sounds like Fred, actually.
Stoller.
Why
I missed that
one. Bookmark when you can use the dollar?
That's one of my favorite jokes of his. Have you ever noticed anyone driving faster than you is an idiot and anyone driving slower than you is a moron? A, Robert Schummel. B, David Spade. C, George Carlin. Or D, Steve Allen.
Well, that's a general joke. Huh? It sounds like a Robert Schimmel joke, but I would have to go with the last one, Alan.
Nope. George Carlin.
That was hard. I had between Carlin and Schimmel.
I thought Robert Schimmel was going back and forth. Funny,
yeah, he's great.
Okay. Why do they call it rush hour when nothing moves? A, Robin Williams. B, Chris Tucker. C, Martin Lawrence. Or D, Billy Crystal.
Now, it's funny because you said Rush Hour, and Chris Tucker does
the Rush
those Rush Hour movies, which would, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's one of those jokes that throws you off.
Chris Tucker, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, and who else?
Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence.
Robin Williams.
I didn't see that in that one. I didn't see Robin Williams saying that.
You're making me look bad, Angela.
Yeah.
All right. I think crime pays. The hours are good and you travel a lot. A, Emo Phillips. B, Woody Allen. C, Michael Keaton. Or D, Stephen Wright.
Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Bam.
So Woody Allen. That's Woody Allen. Yeah.
Did you know Michael Keaton did stand-up?
Yeah. He was originally at the Michael Keaton was at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His name's on the wall when
yeah,
you go there.
Yeah, his name's on the wall. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
great.
People forget.
This is probably my favorite joke ever.
Okay.
So, yesterday I was shaving and I cut my Adam's apple. I got apple juice everywhere.
This is so weird.
A, Drake Sather. B, Super Dave Osborne. C, Jack Carter, or D, Bob Hope?
Oh, I threw Jack Carter in there again. It's not Jack Carter.
It's not Jack Carter.
They're going to give it. Forget
Super you. Dave.
No, it was Drake.
Drake.
Yeah. Do you remember Drake Slater?
No.
Slater? Oh, he was a great comic.
I don't remember him. That's why I don't know the joke.
Yeah, he committed suicide.
Oh, you
but,
are you
that's
but really
that,
another
that's why
one?
He cut his arms off.
Yeah. Oh, that kind of has a weird
double entendre on that joke, Dickie.
No, but Drake Sather was one of the best comics.
Wow.
Okay, you'll get this one.
Okay.
Ever see a homeless person with a dog? The dog is probably like, hey, I'm on the longest walk of my life here. A, Norm MacDonald. B, Freddie Prinze. C, Fred Wolf. D, Fred Willard.
I gotta say Norm MacDonald.
You got it.
That's a Norm joke, man, for sure.
That's okay, we have 2 minutes remaining.
2 minutes. We got two minutes on the rusher. Okay, all the rest of them, Carl's Mencia.
We're in the trophy shop, and there's trophies everywhere, shelves and shelves of trophies. My dad looks around and says, this guy's really good. A, Richard Jenny. B, Robin Williams. C, Fred Wolf. Or D, Dennis Miller.
Wolf.
You got it.
Bingo.
That's
very
Wolf.
Good.
All
very,
right.
I didn't get that one. Very good.
I don't think we could get all of these. We'll do one more.
Let's do one more. All right. Say goodnight.
And I think this one is one of your favorite comics as well, so it's a free one.
Let's see.
John Goodman isn't fat. He's in the category beyond fat. What does one call it? Well-like? A, Whoopi Goldberg. C, Joan Rivers. B, Sam Kennison. Or D, Joe Coy.
Wow. I've worked with Joe Coy, and I've never seen Joe do that joke. And it's I don't know if it's a Kinison joke. It is Kinison.
It is. Oh. Yeah, he got it.
He's one of my faves. It's Sam Kinison.
He is.
Sam Kinison.
Me too.
So let's count
how many do we get here? I don't know.
We started a little late.
Yeah.
But
we were talking. We had a good conversation going.
Yeah.
Angelo did very well.
So
did
he,
three,
did better than me, Andrew.
Next time we should do the top 10
five,
jokes, Keith.
Six,
what the hell
seven,
is it? In 1931,
eight,
when the Hindenburg
nine,
crashed.
10,
the beginning 11, of the
12.
Depression.
He got 12 right, and we still had 7. So you definitely would have got 3 of them.
I think so. 12's not bad.
12
is
great, man.
That's all right, man.
Well,
we
got to go. But, Angelo, I just wanted to say thank you so much. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me on Twitter, at AngTsarouk. AngTsarouch, or go to funnygreek.com, not geek, Greek, funnygreek.com, and that's where you can find me.
Now, do you have any shows coming up
you want to plug anything?
Let me see here.
Go
I don't budge last week because we're too late for that. I'm going to New York this week to do it's a fundraiser show, and I'm going to Moncton, New Brunswick, and then I'm going to Barbados. So, no, nothing around here.
Nothing around. So, just follow you on Twitter.
Keep in mind, I'm always at the Laugh Factory, so I probably have some shows coming up
soon.
Oh,
great.
Either in Long Beach or at the, or over here in Hollywood.
Beautiful.
Next time you're in Long Beach, call me and I'll
support
you.
I will.
We will be there.
All right. We'll hang out as a comic. Let's come and hang.
We'll bring our podcast.
And if you want to follow Alan Lee, you could follow Alan at where on Twitter?
Alan Lee Commie.
That's a good name, Alan Lee. See that name? Alan Lee. People go, oh, I know that name. Angel Tarukas. Oh, fuck this. We're not going to follow that guy.
Angelo DeLucas.
Wow, this was a blast. Our first podcast awesome, here, and Angelo. This was a blast, man.
Well, we got to go.
A pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, sir.
And we're going to have you again on season two if it wasn't so bad.
Awesome.
thanks, guys,
if there's
so
a
much.
Season
Follow
two.
Us on Twitter. I'm Keith Reza, at Keith Reza on Twitter. Thank you guys so much, and have a great day.
Good night.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.